Well, hi, welcome to the Christian Contrast, where we talk about how walking with Jesus leads us to live differently than those in the world around us. I'm Dan here with another solo episode, and this is going to be the third in, I guess, a three-part series where what I'm talking about is different phrases that sort of become a part of the Christian vernacular, phrases, adages, things that we say to each other, things that we say to ourselves, things that we stitch on pillows or put on memes or put on our Instagram, and just evaluating their usefulness and how scripturally true they are. So if you're curious about the other two episodes we've done on this, I talked about the phrase, God doesn't give you more than you can handle, and then talked about the phrase, God wants us to be happy. And today I'm going to be talking about the phrase, everything works out for the best. And I've talked about this a little bit in past episodes, but first of all, if you're listening to this and you're like, what is this really useful? Is this just sort of like being the word police or being the phrase police behind people? I'm not really interested in doing that. I'm not interested in saying, you know, as Christians, we can say this word or this phrase, but don't say this word or this phrase. The reason for this is because in order to live, we all need sort of words and phrases and pieces of wisdom that we live by, that are our mantras or that are the things that we say to each other. We do this in all kinds of areas of life. If as a kid, you ever first learned baseball or even just first learned sort of to catch and hit a baseball, there's a phrase that a parent or a coach or other people would always tell you all the time when you're hitting and when you're trying to catch. Those of you who have done this, you know what the phrase is. It's keep your eye on the ball. And when you're playing baseball, it's just something that maybe eventually becomes second nature, but you're constantly saying to yourself, if you're up in the batter's box, you're just saying to yourself, keep your eye on the ball. If you're out in the field and something's hit to you, you're keeping your eye on the ball. It's something that's helpful because it's a phrase that you constantly are saying to yourself. And we do this in life also. We have phrases that in some form are just our go-to ways of resetting ourselves or reminding ourselves of how we want to handle a situation. Some of us were told things like, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. And that's a phrase that then we use and we break out at the appropriate time to help guide us when we're in a tricky situation. While phrases like, you know, hard work gets you ahead. And so we break that out when we're tempted to be lazy. So we need these phrases. And so if certain phrases have made their way into our thinking and to our talking, it's worth saying, is this a helpful phrase or not? And so again, the phrase we're going to talk about today is, everything works out for the best. Now, what I've talked about, and I'll talk about this also in this episode, but with most of these phrases, they're not 100% great, and they're not 100% incorrect. They're usually somewhere in between, and there's almost like an x-axis and a y-axis of sort of usefulness. And the usefulness of any phrase, of any, like, at least partially true phrase, but the usefulness of any phrase is tied to how much explanation you need to give for the phrase to be useful. So the more context heavy a phrase is, the less sort of universally useful it is. So I'll give an example. If you've ever built something, probably a phrase that you know is righty tighty, lefty loosey. Now this phrase is true. It's not false. It's a true phrase, but it's only really useful in very specific contexts where you're screwing something on or doing something like that. It's useful, and it's not that in other situations it's untrue, but it's not terribly useful. It's not words to live by as you're going through life. And so when we're thinking about different phrases like this, there might be situations, and I'll say, all right, I think there could be situations where this phrase ends up being helpful, but if there's major context needed, if there's major explanation saying, all right, by this phrase, I mean this, and by this word, I mean this, it becomes less useful to us. And so I'll talk at the end about maybe useful alternatives also, but let's focus in now. Let's focus in on this phrase that sometimes we say, everything works out for the best. And usually we say it when something hasn't gone the way that we wanted it to go. We didn't get a promotion, maybe a girlfriend or boyfriend broke up with us. You know, finances aren't everything that they should be. We usually don't say it in a time where it's like an absolute tragedy. But when things just kind of didn't go the way that we wanted them to go, we might say, hey, everything works out for the best. Now, this phrase doesn't come out of nowhere. For us as Christians, this probably is our adaptation of one of the most famous verses in the Bible, which is Romans chapter 8, verse 28. This verse is significant to many of us. I like to call it King Promise when it comes to the promises in the Bible because it's all so all-encompassing. And so I'll read it for us here. It says, and this is the NIV, there's slight variations in the different translations, but it says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And once again, they're slightly different translations. It's a little bit tricky in the Greek to try to figure out how much of it is all things work out for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. In all things, God works for the good. They're slightly different, but there's a similar sense there where it's saying, okay, God is working all things together for the good. We have this phrase, everything works out for the best. So we could, you could kind of see how we got that. Even if you have objections, you could say, all right, I see how this became a phrase. It's a little bit of an adaptation of Romans 8:28 in the same way that when people say God won't give you more than you can handle, there can be disagreement on how helpful it is, but it's an adaptation of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. So that's where this comes from. Now, there are important differences, though, in what Romans 8:28 says and what we say when we just blanket statement, everything works out for the best. First of all, in Romans 8:28, it doesn't say that all things work together for the good of everyone. There's a qualifier involved in this. In some form, what this verse is saying is that in all things, God works for the good, or all things work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So it's dependent. It's not talking about everyone. It's talking specifically about believers in Jesus. This is not some special category of believers. This is believers in Jesus. God works all things for the good, or in all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So that's qualifier number one. If we're saying to somebody, hey, everything works out for the best, that's not a right reflection of Romans 8:28, because Romans 8:28 is not talking about every human being on the planet. It's talking about believers in Jesus. Now, one of the reasons why this is significant is because context helps us understand all verses in the Bible, including this one. Paul goes on after this to explain what specifically he has in mind when he's talking about things working together for our good. And so this is verses 29 and 30 of Romans chapter 8. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So kind of follow the logic here. But Paul makes this great blanket statement. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And then he says, for... He connects it. He says, this is really what I'm talking about. And what he's talking about is the idea that we are ultimately predestined to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That when God called us, when he predestined us, when he saved us, when he justified us, the end of that train, the end of that story is that we end up glorified. We end up conformed to the image of God's Son. And nothing that happens to us can thwart that. No other person can thwart that. And so even the things that seem to go wrong, even the trials and the difficulties and the acts of evil upon us that we face, none of those stop God from conforming us to the image of his Son. In fact, as we know, many of the things that the trials and the difficulties and even the sins acted upon us end up being part of what God uses to conform us to the image of his Son. So it's important also within this to talk like Paul, we can see how applicable his words are in other situations, but he's not simply saying like, hey, if you were hoping to have a big outdoor softball game with your extended family and then it rained, don't worry, it all works out for the best. It's not that there's no application to that, but that's much more trivial. That's much more something that we can shrug our shoulders at than what Paul is talking about big picture. He's talking about bigger trials, bigger difficulties, bigger failures, bigger suffering, and that it all is part of God's plan to conform us to the image of his son. And so once again, we're kind of tallying, all right, we understand how we got this phrase, everything works out for the best from Romans 8:28, but a few core differences, I'd say three core differences. First of all, it specifically is about believers, not about all people. Secondly, what's in mind is our spiritual growth and being conformed to the image of God's son. Thirdly, and this is significant, God is an active agent in this happening, where when you just say everything works out for the best, it's almost like you're talking about karma, or you're talking about the universe. Hey, the universe just has a way of sort of working these things out. And so, hey, even though I experienced this breakup, even though I didn't get this promotion, even though this job didn't go the way it did, even though the weather didn't cooperate, everything just sort of evens itself out, instead of recognizing that our hope, when we're experiencing difficulties and trials, our hope that those aren't wasted is not in the universe. Our hope in that is not in ourselves and in our own resilience to make something good, to make lemonade out of lemons. Our hope in that is based on an all-powerful, all-sovereign, good God who keeps his promises and is able to use all things to conform us to the image of his son. So there's some pretty important differences when we're talking about this. Now, as we're evaluating the phrase again, if you're like, oh, well, I do kind of frequently just say when something goes wrong, hey, everything works out for the best. Let's talk about some situations where that phrase, just left by itself without a lot of clarification, might seem to be untrue, might seem to be unhelpful and even misleading. So number one situation where it might be untrue is when it comes to my personal sin or your personal sin. It would be weird for somebody to say, hey, I'm married and I had an affair. Like I had sex with another woman, and then we ended up divorced and we have split custody with our kids, but everything worked out for the best. You'd look at that and say, well, gosh, it sure doesn't sound like that's true. It doesn't sound like everything worked out for the best. First of all, anytime we sin, there's a sense in which we have already thwarted the best of the situation. It doesn't mean that we're not still going to ultimately be conformed to the image of God's son. It doesn't even mean that God doesn't work through our sins and our failures to bring us to repentance and a greater awareness of our need for his grace. But my sin, anytime I sin, there's a sense of where, like, I already put myself and probably other people in a subpar situation because my sin negatively impacted things. So it would be bizarre, and I haven't heard most people use this, but sometimes I have heard people use this even in terms of divorce. Like, hey, like it all worked out for the best. It's like, it certainly did not all work out for the best. You could say we still saw God work through this, and we still saw God be good to us and shape us through this, but it certainly is not the best. When you're married, staying married, keeping your family together is better than not having your family together. So things didn't work out all for the best. So this would be a cheap thing, a way of us sort of letting ourselves off the hook in accountability for our sin if we just look back and say, well, I sinned and this was the fallout, but everything worked out for the best. No, it didn't all work out for the best. Second situation where this would not be helpful, or at least would be partially untrue, is acts of evil upon us. So when we're talking about our sin against others, when we're talking about somebody's sin against us. If somebody said, hey, I was abused as a child, by my parents or by somebody else, but it all worked out for the best. It definitely did not all work out for the best. The best would have been that you were cared for and that you were not abused and that you were not wronged and that you were not abandoned and that you were not taken advantage of. That would be much better than what ended up happening. And this is the important distinction. I think maybe what people are longing for when they use this phrase is just the whole idea of saying that the ultimate purpose of God for my life is not thwarted. Like this terrible thing that I did, or this terrible thing that somebody else did for me, that there's a temptation or a fear that I might end up believing that thing that happened ended up ruining my life and there's sort of no coming back and no recovering. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm not saying is because that happened, there's just no coming back from it. But what I am saying is that was not the best thing that could have happened. That was something that was hurtful and was harmful and brought more evil into the world and brought more suffering into the world. So it certainly isn't all for the best when somebody sins against us, even if God works through the sin against us, that we suffer in order to humble us and shape us and show us our need for a Savior and bring us in greater dependency upon Jesus. But still, that said, it would not be a good thing to say when we're talking about our personal sin and when we're talking about sin against us. It also is untrue when we are the ones defining the best. When we're defining what it means that all things work out for the best. Because typically, we have something specific in mind. Again, you think of a breakup, like, all right, you know, this girlfriend or this boyfriend broke up with me. But the best that maybe you have in mind is, well, the best is that I met somebody better, or I met somebody more suited to me, and that worked out for the best. Or, hey, I didn't get this promotion, or I didn't get this job that I applied for, but the best would be that it would turn out that it actually wasn't good for me to, you know, go to that school that I didn't get accepted into, get that job that I didn't end up receiving, get that promotion that I got passed over for. It actually would have been worse for me if I would have got that. And so the better thing that ended up happening was that this other promotion came up later on, or this, you know, other thing happened, and now that my best has happened because of that. The danger of this is that we presume upon God when we say, well, okay, like we're taking that to heart. You just experienced the breakup. You just experienced the sort of, you know, promotion that you didn't get. You just experienced the school that didn't accept your application. Then you're suddenly presuming upon God, where you're saying, okay, well, God, this means that real soon somebody better than my ex-girlfriend, ex-boyfriend is going to come along and everything's going to be great. This means that there's going to be a promotion that's going to be even better, maybe meaning more lucrative, more suited to me than this one that I didn't get. This means that there's actually going to be a better school. I'm going to end up finding something out about the school that didn't accept me, that it turns out that they're going to have a scandal or something like that. That when we decide what the best would be, and then we presume upon God and say, God, you now have an obligation by my standards to make this work out for the best, that's where we're in danger. Some people don't end up getting married. Some people who want to have children don't end up being able to have children. Some people deal with extended periods of unemployment, or at least lower employment, or they're striving for a certain career and they find it really difficult to get into. So it's very dangerous when we use this phrase, everything works out for the best, and we decide, I know what the best is. And so now God is obligated to make this work out for my best. You can see as I'm talking about this, there's a lot of danger in this phrase becoming a phrase that we constantly say to other people and say to ourselves, that the usefulness of a phrase is tied to how much or how little explanation we need. So if you're saying, well, I say this phrase, I say everything works out for the best, but I know that when I'm saying it, I mean, it's not just that the universe does this, but God is doing this. And I also know that everything sort of doesn't mean that sins that I commit or that others commit ultimately end up being for good in some way. And I also mean that the best is God's best and not my best. Did you see how much explanation there's needed there? How much clarification there's needed there? Where if you were to just say to a person the phrase, they would not be assuming all of those different things. Also, and I'll just add this in, this is true of many Christian, even very true Christian things that we say, phrases that we say. This could be a very misused phrase when you say to somebody who has just experienced a profound loss and tragedy, and where it just becomes flippant. There are things you could say that maybe on our little like scale would get 100% true. Like, this is absolutely a true statement, but a timely word is something that we're seeking after, something that builds up according to the needs of the moment. So with any Christian truism, even if you're saying, hey, this is right out of the Bible, this is something that's really true, there still is a usefulness to saying, is this the time and place where this is going to be wise to say this to somebody who's in deep hurt and could hear this as just a flippant way where I'm trivializing their hurt over this? Once again, when we're talking about this phrase, the danger of talking about everything working out for the best is that we're assuming we know the best. And also there's some sense which saying because we live in a fallen world, the best in some sense has already been undercut. Like, the best would have been if Adam and Eve never sinned and where death didn't enter into the world. There's a sense where you can make that argument. Romans 8:28 doesn't say God works all things together for the best. He says God works all things together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Our ultimate good is that we be conformed to the image of Jesus. And so that does mean, even with some of the things that we're talking about, that even when I falter and even when I sin, that certainly is not the best thing that I could have done. But even within that, God is working all things together for my good. I have not thwarted God's good purpose for me. And he's going to bring me conviction through the Holy Spirit, and he's going to bring me to repentance, and he's going to bring me to accountability. He's going to be bringing me to have more compassion and grace on others because I'm going to see my own frailty, and that's going to be a positive thing because I'll be more Jesus-like in all of that. He's going to use my personal sin. He's going to use the sins against me from other people because those are going to humble me. Those are going to remind me and have me have a sense of greater awe and worship of Jesus because he suffered so much injustice for all of the things that happened. They're going to sharpen me because even if I'm unjustly suffering in some way, they're still going to sharpen off the parts of myself that need to be changed. You can think of this in somebody like Joseph, who had all of this suffering, you know, in the book of Genesis, kind of chapters 37 through 50. But there also is a lot of evidence that the suffering that he had sharpened him and shaped him in positive ways. What his brothers did to him was not good, but God had a specific purpose in everything that happened to him. So even the suffering that we have at the hands of other people, and then every trial that we, sometimes we have trials, and it's not that anybody has done something evil. It's just that we're suffering trials because there's sickness, there's injuries, there's financial downturns, all sorts of things like that. The joy of this phrase, the joy of the biblical phrase in Romans 8:28 is that we get to know there's nothing that anybody could ever do that will separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. And even in all of these really difficult things that are happening, God is at work shaping them for our good. And our ultimate good is not just that we have a comfortable, wonderful life. Our ultimate good is that we are shaped into the image of Jesus. So here's my suggestion. If you frequently say everything works out for the best, and even if you're here in this podcast episode and you're saying, but I know what I mean by this, I still want to suggest that you change it to be more clearly in line with Romans 8:28, because what we say to ourselves and what we say to others informs our reality. And one of the sad things about the phrase everything works out for the best is God is not a part of that phrase. Maybe you're assuming God is a part of it. God is not a part of the actual phrase. So how much more wonderful to say, you know what? God is working all things together for my good. God is working all things together for my good, even when I'm suffering, even when I've failed, even when I've fallen, even when I have this disappointment. God is working all things together for my good. And what a better thing for us to say, so that when we experience that breakup, when we experience being passed over for promotion, when we experience a cancer diagnosis, I mean, the powerful sense of Paul here saying all things. There's nothing not covered by that. And what a joyful thing for us to say to ourselves, to say to our children, to say to people around us, I'm suffering right now. I just experienced this loss. I just buried one of my parents, or I just experienced the loss of a job, and I'm not sure the provision that I'm going to have. But you know what? I'm going to grasp on to this great truth. God is working all things together for my good. And I'm going to hold on to that as I look for his leading in this situation. I hope this is helpful. Once again, the whole purpose of this is not to say, hey, there's these phrases and we're giving them scores and you're not allowed to say them anymore, but to say, man, we all need those mantras. We all need those words that we live by in situations that we repeat to ourselves. And how much better off are we going to be if the things that we say to ourselves and others in those situations are strongly grounded biblical truths rather than vague sayings that need a ton of clarification for them even to be helpful? God is working all things together for our good. I would love to invite comments or feedback. I got some on the other videos, and I always love checking up on that because these Christian adages that we have, that they sometimes become so much a part of our thinking that we're not even realizing that they're either unbiblical or sort of maybe bad approximations of things said in the Bible. So I'd appreciate any feedback on this, questions, comments. We put all of the videos of the Christian Contrast up on our YouTube channel for Life Bible Fellowship Church, and then also up on our website of lbf.church. And so we put out a new episode every 2 weeks. And so we've got a whole backlog of old episodes. And so if you find this content helpful, you can find other episodes where we cover a variety of different subjects. Sometimes I have a guest on with me and we're wrestling through an issue. Sometimes they're more theological, sometimes they're more cultural, but we're always looking to discover how God is calling us to live differently than the world around us because of our commitment to Jesus. So with that said, I'll see you in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. And thanks so much for taking the time to listen to the Christian Contrast.